hey, you know what? Here's a preschool. Why don't we surround it with power lines? Let's make sure these black kids have enough electromagnetic radiation flowing through them at all times. I'm surprised we haven't produced static shock at this point.
Right.
How many power lines on the south side? You'd be like,
listen,
should my kid be growing up near five power lines? I don't think that's really good. Because when you go to the suburbs, it's not like that.
They're either going to die or they're going to become real powerful. We'll find out on the next episode of Earth.
Y'all want to be superheroes? Yay, I want to be a superhero.
There it is. There it is. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another phenomenal episode of My Mama Told Me, the podcast where we dive deep, deep into the pockets of black conspiracy theories. And we finally work to prove that T.I. is running the only sex cult in the world that effectively incorporates the stories. He may be stealing those girls' innocence, but he's also giving them a big, beautiful word to describe what was stolen from them. Just give me some head, and then use culpability in a sentence. That's T.I.'s energy at all times. He's a wild boy, but I don't know. Who could hate the man, huh? I'm your host, Langston Kerman. As always, I'm coming in hot, baby. We got a great episode today. I'm very excited. Our guest today, he's phenomenal. He's hilarious. He cracks me up. You know him as one of the creators and stars of Southside. You know him as one of the creators and stars of Sherman Showcase. You know him from so many great hit movies. This motherfucker's about to be in Top Gun. You ain't in Top Gun, you stupid bitch. He is. You love him. You know, give it up for Bashir Salahuddin.
Hey, everybody.
How are you, sir?
I'm good, man. That was a great intro. Very, you know, you come out shooting.
Yeah, no, I come in hot.
Fuck. Yeah, fuck them. Burn it all down. We'll start over. I love it.
Here's the problem. I don't get to socialize anymore, so I just get to put all my thoughts out in like a 30-second preamble, and then I gotta, you know, this is all that I've been sitting on.
Well, you know what? This is great. I'm happy to be here. Thanks for having me. You know, I'm looking forward to it.
I'm really excited you're here because you came with a conspiracy theory that I've heard angles on before. Mm-hmm. I've heard versions of this before, but never the angle that you chose. Yours was an extremely unique take on a slightly a trite conspiracy theory at this point. You said, my mama told me.
Billionaires are investing in space exploration so they can kick poor people off the earth.
Yes, that's correct. That is a conspiracy theory that I fully believe.
And,
you know, you asked me to think about, because I was like, okay, I got to think of something funny. And then I was like, oh, you know, it's so hard to be funny when you try and it's terrible. It never works. And then I was like, well, let me think about a real actual conspiracy that I really believe. And that's one of them. You know, I just think, you know, look, I don't know if I can jump into it now or if there's
jump
more
in.
Setup.
Let's know. We're in.
I don't think, let me tell you this, outside of, you know, and I don't want to turn this into like a sociology class.
Mm-hmm.
Or a geography class. Or a geology class.
Listen, all those classes.
Yeah, so. Let's get some F's together, brother, as I look at the dead spider on my floor. I should sweep in this room, by the way. This is really, you ever look around and go, I have not swept this room. And under the couch is, I think that's a damn Cheerio, because my child.
Oh, my podcast room is a mess. My
it's disgusting. Anyway, but no, I look, if you look at the Earth, outside of places that have been affected by extreme poverty or places that are very tough to live in, that people just like roughing it. I mean, by and large, especially with the technology we have available now, most of the places on this planet are very livable and actually are very nice when you think about it. Great climates. This is why everybody lives there. In some ways, Earth is a paradise. And there's just a lot of people on this planet. And so when I see all this energy and this like thrust towards, oh yeah, we're gonna like be exploring space, and then we gotta get we got to get Mars colonized. We got to get the moon colonized. When I see all that stuff, I'm always like, you know, I know people are watching that being like, damn, man, rich people are going to space. And I want to be like, no, nigga, you going to space.
Right. I'm not trading the Bahamas for fucking Mars.
Why would a rich person choose to live on Mars, which is essentially like living in on a planet, the entire planet is a coal mine, right? Like it's just, it's all coal miner conditions. That
it's
means
only black lung. All no,
it's,
the way
all, it's all red lung. That means, so you telling me that rich people are about to give up Turks and Caicos, and they're going to give up the Bahamas, and they're going to give up the south of France, and they're going to give up Jamaica, and they're going to give up Montana, and they're going to give up all these wonderful, beautiful places to go tough it in space. No, no, no. They're not going anywhere. My sense is that the reason there's such a threat, I think space tourism is coming, but I think as a secondary thing, that there's going to be this huge drive to go. You know, it's actually kind of what happened with America, right? It was like, go be a pioneer.
Yeah.
Go explore that West. Go out there and fight them, fight those engines. You know? Wasn't nobody in Manhattan trying to go west, but it was like all the poor people, they were like, go. They were like, you could have all the land you want.
Yeah.
You could be your own boss. And then people was like, yeah. And then they went out to the frontier and they figured that shit out.
Well, you're saying a few things that I really love in this because I think that's 100% true. I was I can't remember who I was talking to about this the other day, but I think it was something like 70% of the pilgrims that like crossed the ocean the first time died in the trip. So they let these motherfuckers go figure it out. And then once they knew it was a livable, easy trip, then everybody else started to come.
Slowly but surely. And I think there might be a time, but, you know, there's actually, it hurts me to say this because I try to be original, but there's a TV show called The Expanse, which I'm a big fan of. And they actually, to some degree, a little bit, the show is kind of based a little bit on this theory. So Earth has mad issues. But as you go away from Earth, you get rougher and rougher and rougher until you get to this thing called the belt, which is like the asteroid belt in the solar system. And that's like the most grimy, fucking looks like Russia-y place you would ever have on the show. That's what everybody's like, filthy and dirty, and they haven't showered in like 6 months. Like, look at this stuff. Look at this guy over here. He's got water. Like, it's those kind of people. But I was just like, you know, overpopulation is legit. That's why, again, that's why we're talking about, why is it that we're talking about, you know, why is it Andrew Yang and other futurists are talking about, you know, what do they call it? Universal income. Why? Because as society creates more robots, like at some point, people are going to go, why does any human being work in McDonald's? A human being does not need to work in McDonald's. A human being does not need to work at Sam's Club. A human being does not need to work at Taco Bell. A human being does not need to build a car.
Yeah.
A human being does not really need to work at the Amazon fulfillment center.
Right.
Robots can do all that shit. And so ultimately, guys like Yang and them are like, well, it's going to be a lot of motherfuckers out of work. So why don't we try and raise the floor so that everybody has some money, you know, some money to play with. And I think as part of that idea is that ultimately between robots and innovation, there's just going to be a lot of not shit to do here on Earth. And then I think that shit to do is going to be, we'll take your ass to the moon and mine some silicates.
Well,
and it's like, it's almost like everybody's going to become like the Central American who's like, go to America and send the money back home. They're going to be like, hey, brother, you can go to Mars, man. Your mama can have a new house.
With the moon rocks, baby. You got to
the moon rocks, baby.
Well, let me ask you this, because I love this. And I think you're making a valid point that nobody is really going to give up the stuff that they're already used to
this
for the sake of
Earth is a paradise. I don't think people realize that.
So
this planet is amazing, actually.
So why, and this is what I think I'm struggling with in it, is why not just kill these poor people? Why not just mass extinction of the poor?
But I mean, if you look at human history, that's happened so many times. There were things, and I got this from a book, it could be wrong, but you know, I got it from a book about, it was a historical fiction called Aztec. But in some of the Central American societies, they used to have what they called the flower wars or flowery wars. And they would just have war because they hadn't had war for a long time. And there was a general restlessness among the population. That's something where at least people can sort of contribute and be a part of their own destruction. But if you look at human history, there have been tons of times where people just got, as we know, even in recent history, World War II, just rounded up and murdered. Ultimately, what you're suggesting is just really bad PR. Nobody wants to be. It's a lot of paperwork.
I got
to be like, all right, we're just going to kill everybody on 63rd and Cottage Grove, right?
Yeah, we can't.
It's messy.
You can do it, but you're going to get some pushback from the powers that be.
I'm going to tell you how sinister it is. But they also don't want to accidentally kill, you know, like the next Stephon Marbury, the next Aretha Franklin. Mm. They don't want to kill them because those people are providing entertainment value and they come from tough neighborhood.
What will we do without Starberry shoes?
You got to have Starberry shoes. Yeah, exactly. You know. So we know for a fact the hood produces incredible entertainers.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we don't want to do is just start killing everybody. And then we might miss out on, who knows, like the next brother to make Famous Amos cookies or something, right? You don't want to mess that up. So you got to let people come up. But then once they get to a certain level, you have to find a way to offload them out of the way so that you can enjoy. You know, it's interesting. If you're ever in Los Angeles, one of my favorite times to be in LA, and this is true, is during the holidays. For people who don't live in Los Angeles, the city is full of transplants. Mm-hmm. So typically between after Thanksgiving until the New Year, LA is sort of empty. I always say it's kind of deserted.
It's the best city in the world for like 2 weeks. It's so nice. Oh, I can't get enough of it. The streets are empty. Everyone's at peace. Oh, it's the best.
If you ever want to, people in LA, if you ever want to have fun during that period, go downtown and just drive on 6th Street West and just take 6th Street off. It's going to be this beautiful, curvy, no traffic drive all the way to the water almost. But that's what rich people want Earth to be like all the time.
Okay.
They don't want no tent cities.
That's
right. You can't even enjoy the money you made because when you get off the freeway, it's a bunch of broke motherfuckers under the bridge. Like, they don't like that shit.
Like, look, man, your tent is fucking up my view of the ocean. You got to move your goddamn tent.
Move this shit. Come on, man.
Okay, that makes sense.
That's the conspiracy theory, is that people, they want to offload the people who aren't necessary and who are in the way of this paradise.
Let's backtrack a little bit because I love this. Where do you think you first came to believe this? I know you said you sort of saw it on the show and all that, but where does it come to be true to you?
I am a huge fan of science fiction and fantasy and mm-hmm. have been. Perhaps being from the South Side of Chicago, I was always like, oh man, the stars have to be better than this. Maybe. Who knows? But there was come on, George Lucas. Come on, Gene Roddenberry. Come get me. It's Vice Lords over there. I got to get out of here. I'm so scared. But no, who knows where my love of, but also I was very, you know, I was very bookish. I don't know if I'm using that right, but I like books and I read everything growing up.
Yeah.
I love science fiction. I love fantasy. I wish I could make a show around that. I'm still trying my damnedest to try and do something in that area. I think my sense that people are going to explore spaces just comes from my love of that. But then as I began to think about it, and the actual odds of finding a planet that is as dope as Earth, and those odds are increasing as they do more exploration, but they're still pretty high. They're still pretty hard. They found a couple, but they're so far away. They call class M planets or whatever. Now, they can support life. But, I mean, again, who has Manhattan figured out? Like, what mm-hmm. planet can you go to and be like, oh my God, we had an incredible 3-star Michelin dinner and then we went down to the Comedy Cellar and saw some great comics.
Right.
Like Earth has that. The moon is not going to have that for a very long time.
Yeah, that's the part that I think you're really nailing is like, mm-hmm. As somebody who has done some traveling, I'm not like mm-hmm. a world traveler all the time, but I've been to a few places. I'm inconvenienced when I go to Mexico and they ain't got the toothpaste I like. You know what I mean? Man, fuck Mexico. I'm never coming back to this country for minor inconveniences. There's mm-hmm. no way people are going to the moon and just settling for moon paste.
Rich people are going to go on space tours where they're going to go, oh, that was incredible. And then they're coming right back to the yacht, mm-hmm. you know, in Mykonos. Because why would they be in space when they could be in Mykonos? Like, come on, it's not even close.
Yeah.
Also, in space, you might die at any second because that shit's all getting figured out. So at some point, a pipe might blow up and this whole living unit over here is just wiped out. But, you know, they want to tap into people's frontiers.
Ain't no vacuums in the south of France.
No, none. You can't even. Dude, I'll put it this way. I was in, I had the great pleasure of being in Italy recently. And my phone died. And I had to get a damn burner phone and get a damn calling app. And I called AT&T and I was like, hey, man, I've been a customer for a long time. You know, whenever you call AT&T, you got to act like you're like a crack fiend begging for it.
Come on, baby. You know
Come on, baby. You
We've
know
been
me.
With you this whole time.
I've been with y'all since you was called Singular Wireless, baby. Now, come on.
You're the love of my life, AT&T. Why would you do this?
Show
me.
Like, do me some. And so I called AT&T, and they were like, we are not sending you a new phone to Italy. So just imagine if you was on the moon, right? Or if you're on Mars, and you're like, hey, Sprint PCS. Hey, do y'all, you know, that's what it is. So I think this planet is, and underneath to be sort of a little more somber, underneath everything I'm saying is my personal belief that, you know, and I'm a big fan of David Attenborough. And I think he's right that like this planet is amazing and it's incredible. Mm-hmm. And I think that we really do act like we have five of these motherfuckers like in storage somewhere.
Right.
You know, cause it's really, and I'm not a big, like, environmentally like preachy person, but it did break my heart when my wife and I were in Belize and we were on the beach and there was just garbage everywhere.
Right.
You know, there's just trash everywhere. And so I do think that unfortunately by dint of corporations, by dint of fucked up laws, by dint of a lot of different things, you know, a lot of people just treat this planet like it's like, you know, it's like fucked up and it's nasty and they can just throw shit in the ocean and spill shit in the ocean and kill all kind of spill. Like there's no repercussions to all that. And my sense is that this place is pretty badass and we should take better care of it.
I similarly am a big David Attenborough fan and watch mm-hmm. all of like those Planet Earths and
yeah.
Blue Ocean, all the shows that fantastic. He has. He's yeah. fantastic. And what's jarring in all of it and upsetting in all of it is that literally every single one is mostly him being like, this part of the planet is fucked up and y'all did this. But yeah, anyway, exactly. Look at this bird. He got some cool wings, huh?
Yeah,
you ain't going to see him no more because you about to kill him with your pollution and your evil. And shit.
I hope you like this forest because you ain't seeing this shit again. Right. You know, y'all fucked this all up. I know there was one special he had that was showing like the beautiful blue ocean, and he was like, "But it ain't like that no more. Now it's full of jellyfish, and can't nobody eat jellyfish, and they're fucking terrible." And he showed a bunch of jellyfish, and he was like, "And the fishes are gonna die." And like you just said, Langston, and y'all did this shit.
You're right.
But I mean, somebody's got to tell us the truth.
Yeah.
But you know, it's also funny to me, and I don't want it to be too tangent, but as a black person, it's really hard because when I think about what my responsibility is to contribute and give back to this planet and to give back to this country, environmentalism can't be number one, right? I'm from
Super
the South Side.
Low on the list.
So the South Side of Chicago and sort of like doing things that I can do to help create better environments there, that's got to be number one.
Yeah.
Right? As a black person. But part of my brain is still like, but damn, man, the planet is just like...
Right.
We just don't treat this place. We don't treat it like a place we want to have around for a very long time.
No, I was listening to this podcast the other day mm-hmm. that was sort of like exploring these people who basically have like dedicated their lives to becoming environmentalists, that they like are the type of people who chain themselves to giant trees and like tell the bulldozer, "I won't move." And like they have the big standoff. But they were mm-hmm. basically saying in the podcast that like, listen, all these people are white. And all of them have enough money that they could retire
Correct.
And focus entirely on this shit.
You nailed
Whereas
it.
Poor people, yeah, I don't give a fuck, man. I can't. Yeah. I don't have the room to give a fuck because you won't take your knee off my throat. You know what I mean?
And it's sort of double-edged because ironically, when I'm in the hood, when I'm on, and not all the South, there's some beautiful parts of the South Side of Chicago, but when I'm in some of the other parts, I'm like, it's interesting that these are the places that are actually hurt the most by them. You know what's crazy? I'm from the South Side. Did you know that? I don't know if they still have this, but when I was growing up, and I grew up, I was born in 76. So, I was kind of like a kid in like the mid 80s. And there was a part of my neighborhood on like around 70, I'm going to say like 76th in Vincennes, Wentworth, around there, where there was actually ponds.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll never forget, my brother and I literally used to go walking and then we would go to this little lagoony pond thing on this house and fit. And there were fish in the pond.
Yeah.
And you could, I mean, it's hard to people believe that, but we actually would go fishing like on the South Side, you know,
right.
Like, and it was crazy. And I suspect that all that's gone, you know, I don't know.
Were you all eating the fish afterwards? Or?
I don't know. I was so surprised because my brother caught that shit with a pencil. I couldn't believe he did that shit. I said, this industrious Negro is incredible. He's tied a piece of string around a pencil and caught a fish. I don't remember if he ate it, though. I honestly don't remember if he ate it. But I
want to believe, no, I can't believe. Listen, Chicago's a lot of beautiful things. I don't think that the fish that you catch naturally nearby is is meant for human consumption.
Oh, these are the finest fish on 83rd and Crandon. Where these come from? He's from Alaska, and these are from Inglewood. Inglewood Fish Company.
These are from a neighborhood that even humans don't like living in, but exactly. Yeah, they're delicious fish.
It's incredible. Yeah, I mean, we get hurt the most by this stuff. But again, as we both said, it's kind of like weird to be promoting it when it's like, we got more pressing things, but it's kind of all connected.
With that, here's the question that I have is what do you think people can or should be doing about this? Is there anything we can do about what's happening?
Nothing.
This is just inevitable.
It's just the way it is. Again, if you were to go in 1811 and there were a bunch of people on the East Coast who were about to go west and get land, because that's kind of, again, I think that's a good analogy for it. There's nothing you could have done to tell people that they won't. I mean, there literally might be like, look, if you go to the moon, you will own. Remember the 40 acres and the mule? Now, if you go to the moon, we will give you 40 acres. Legit.
Now, you got to bring your own mule.
You got to bring your own mule.
And you're going to need a spacesuit for the mule.
Might need some oxygen. But I do think that, yeah, I think that, like, it's going to be hard, especially in a place that does feel overcrowded, it's going to be hard not to tell people to go find their fortune and go. Again, it's some of this stuff is in that TV show I talked about, but it's going to be hard to tell people not to go and create their own ownership. Ultimately,
yeah, I mean,
right? You're going to go own stuff.
It's part of the ruse, right? It's part of the trick, but it also is the mastery of the trick is like we've explored all the stuff that we know how to explore here. And so them being like, hey, you don't know what's up there. You should check that shit out because be tight.
Hey, if y'all like Arizona, y'all going to love Mons fucking whatever it's called on Mars.
Oh, you niggas like Phoenix? Ooh, you got to get up. You got to get like upstairs. Hot.
Y'all like dirt? I'm going to tell you. But here's the one thing we definitely know for a fact is that all the basketball teams on Mars is going to be dope.
Oh, they're going to be
every
great.
Last one. It's going to be amazing, you know, but they're not going to play a lot with Earth because it's a long trip.
That's probably how they're going to sell it to a bunch of young black kids. Like,
I mean,
if you really trying to hoop,
what if like, I mean, exactly. You're going to change the world. I feel like also we might be surprised and like the moon might end up putting out a whole new brand of hip hop. Like all the things that come from the hood going to be amplified.
Yeah.
And people are like, oh, y'all like, man, y'all ain't heard shit about that lunar music, man.
Right.
Everything about the moon is harder than Earth. Everything about the moon is harder than Earth. And you ain't going to be able to argue because you're going to be like, right.
Yeah, I'm stuck here on Earth. I don't know.
I'm stuck here.
Y'all grinding.
Yeah, y'all up there doing it, huh?
We're going to take a break. We'll be back with more Bashir Salahuddin and more My Mama Told Me. And we are back.
We're not going to let Joe Biden and Kamala Harris cut America's meat.
That's dead on that. That's dead on that.
Yeah, we're back here with more Bashir Salahuddin, more My Mama Told Me. We're still talking about the possibility that poor people are going to get kicked off of the earth and made to live on Mars or moon or other planets. We don't know yet. Do you have any sense of who's going first? Like what flavor of poor are they kicking off?
Then the poor people won't be the first. The first it'll be explorers.
Mm-hmm.
And like engineers and scientists, but they're just there to get the infrastructure. You know, somebody had to build the projects before people moved into the
projects. Yes. Okay.
And so they're going to go build. But then after that, once they, especially because they're going to do something called the Space Bridge. For those of you who've watched the movie Ad Astra, that was featured at the very beginning. This is a science fiction.
I don't know if you've seen the documentary Ad Astra.
Hey, y'all niggas seen Ad Astra. I'm sure that around the old African-American water cooler at the workplace, there's much discussion of Ad Astra. But I would say that there's a thing called a space bridge that basically makes it easier to leave Earth's atmosphere because you're just essentially on an elevator.
Yeah.
And so I do think that once that technology is up and once there's a cost-effective way to get motherfuckers off the planet without spending too much money, I think that's when you'll start to see. But at first, it'll be like, you know, it'll be sold. It's like, oh, my God, fantastic space explorers. And look at this guy. Joe Blow, this guy is amazing. Don't you want to be like him? You want to be like him?
It's the what are those motherfuckers that were with Saka Jawea? The
yeah.
You know what I'm talking about. It was
Lewis and Clark.
Yeah.
What was the part?
You want, they're going to have to sell it as like these adventurers who face the world so that you can feel safe in this.
They're
going
to make a movie like in what's that movie where the girl was really 15 in real life, but in the movie she's supposed to be a teenager, a little bit older.
No.
Colors of the Wind was the song. No, it was a Disney movie. That's hilarious. Colors of the Wind. Pocahontas. It'll be like that.
They're
going to make movies about like the beautiful, these strong pioneers went to space. And
right.
These are heroes, you know, and like what you go like, what happened to them all? Oh, they all died. Every last one. To a person. I mean, they just all died. There's nobody came back.
So in the research that I was unpacking, and I'm mm-hmm. so glad this is where you're heading. I started to think about what it means for this space exploration to exist, right? Like, and apparently it's existed since 2004, that we've already been doing some version of space tourism since 2004. Most of it has been like...
Oh, yeah. There was like one billionaire or something who went, right?
One
dude went already or something.
He's an astronaut and he went with like this other guy and they went up to what they basically describe as like that breaking point of where it stops being air and starts being space. But that was all the way back in 2004. Now there are six different companies that all are planning their version of space tourism that all ranges from SpaceX, which is basically saying it's going to cost you $55 million for a round trip to go to the International Space Station, all the way down to Jeff Bezos' company, Blue Origin. Basically is offering a passenger trip to suborbital space for $200,000 each.
Again, when we were we lived on the South Side.
Yep.
I don't know if y'all know that. I've mentioned it only 30 or 40 times already.
Brother, where are you from? Just tell us.
Well, now it's weird that you would ask that. Number one, go Bull. But I would say the reason I bring that up is to say, but my dad, to his credit, was a technophile. So we had an Atari 2600 when it first came out. We had a VCR when it first came out. And the reason I bring that up is because they were very expensive.
Yeah.
So I say all that to say that, it's very expensive now. That number you said, 200,000, that's like going to go down.
100%.
Everything goes down. At some point, it's going to be like, hey, man, look, let me borrow your shoes and you can have it.
Just let me hold some. I don't even care what the sum is.
You want to go to space or not? Yeah, I want to go to space. And by the way, because I'm going to tell you what, I didn't even know this, man. And Chappelle made a joke about it, but I didn't even know this. When I visited the Bay Area for the first time, it only costs you money to go from, somebody's going to correct me probably, but I think it only costs money to go from Oakland to San Francisco.
Right.
To go from San Francisco to Oakland is free.
They're like, go ahead, if that's what you
want. Go ahead, have fun, motherfucker. But if you want to come back, it's going to cost you. I think it'll be like, okay, if you want to go up to space, there's nothing. But if you're like, hey, man, I want to get back to Earth, they'll be like, ooh, we don't know.
We ain't even doing that trip no more.
but talk to us. What's wrong with space, man? I mean, did something happen? Or, you know, no.
Fill out this survey. We'll write down your concerns. We'll get to it.
You're going to have to call a call center where they barely speak your language. And then try to get a refund and be like, okay, well, we'll see what we can do, sir. Just, can you go to the website, though?
Right.
Like, I don't have Wi-Fi. I'm on the moon. Ain't no Wi-Fi.
That's actually why y'all, I'm calling the Wi-Fi.
That's why I'm calling you right now. Y'all think y'all slick with this shit. But yeah, look, everything's going to go down.
You bring up an excellent point about the price changes, and it got me thinking about the way that airplanes prices have changed over the years. Specifically, I wanted to look up how much it cost for the first commercial airline flight, which happened apparently in 1914. And it cost that passenger $400 for a 23-minute flight. And apparently that comes out to like $8,500 today. So your point, this was insane at the time. And now for $400, you can go across the country. Depending on how you fly and how early you buy the ticket, you could easily go to a lot of places for $400.
I mean, look, I certainly don't want to like dip it too much into politics, but I think human greed is so ubiquitous. When you look at who are the refugees on this planet, and then when you look at who is staying in some of those countries, there are areas where the poverty is so thick that you don't have a choice but to stay. And then there are areas where there are tons and tons of people who have money who are fine staying in countries, and the people who don't have money are sort of like encouraged to go find their fortunes elsewhere.
Yeah.
And make room for the people who are like, don't need to do that.
Mm-hmm. You know?
And it's really, it's really sad because it certainly makes people feel like they don't really have a country, and it makes them feel like outcasts, et cetera. So then you have to upsell, you know, the adventurousness of, oh man, you could be your own boss,
right,
on the moon.
You got to make being a nomad sexy somehow.
Make it sexy.
Yeah.
I do think human nature, in my observation, is that people who have a good thing try to hold on to it.
That I think that's fair. And it actually, I was thinking about other sort of instances in history or sort of like in our current everyday circumstance where what you're describing exists. And it got me into this thing called planned relocation, which I read in like this United Nations Development Program document that basically talks about the fact that it's a form of organized movement of people, typically instigated under like supervised sort of watch of the state, right? That ideally they're taking people from difficult circumstances and moving them and helping them reestablish their lives in quote unquote better circumstances. But one of the things that they say is most controversial about this planned relocation is that it can easily fall into internment camps or, to your point, stranding people in deserted areas where they in fact don't have any resources. You just told them they would.
Yeah. I mean, I think the bedrock of all this stuff is stability.
Mm-hmm.
When you have, and I think that's why you have so many rich people talking about universal basic income and talking about issues of poverty. I think it on its surface looks like altruism. But if you just peel the layer back, what you will find is that when you have extremes together, it creates instability. And instability is not good for the markets, and instability is not good for the pockets of people who have money. They don't want instability because instability might take the money out their pocket. And so when you have, or when you're surrounded by lots and lots of people who don't have anything, and those people's hunger, their natural hunger, begins to infringe on your right to have a fancy walk through a fancy park, you start to think about ways to alleviate the pressure, right, of that inequality. And so, unfortunately, again, I'll put it to you this way. If you talk to most Black people on the South Side of Chicago or in Chicago, and you ask them what happened to the Robert Taylor homes, they will tell you, oh, white folks wanted that lakefront property
back. Boom.
That's where all this kind of comes from.
And
it comes
from
this idea. Well,
that's how they get you.
That's how they get you. Yep, I totally agree. That's it. It's somebody wanted that property. And so
it's a nice property.
It's a nice property. And,
they were like, I don't know if people know in Chicago, like some of the nicest lakefront property in Chicago was affordable homes. It was projects.
Right.
It was called the Robert Taylor homes. And now, last time I was there, I think they're either all or mostly gone.
Yeah, I mean,
like
Cabrini Green is another example of like, you had literally, they made one of the most iconic television shows of all time based off this idea.
Yes, they did.
And then they were like, fuck it. We're going to take them and turn them into nice big high rises for wealthy white people. And they did.
Yes.
And then they moved all of those people as far south as they are out of the direction that they previously lived, so that they basically had to figure out a new life, and told them this was better somehow.
I don't even know if this is true or not. So I want to say this might be a lie, internet people, but I went to this high school in Chicago that I fucking love called Whitney Young High School. And when I was there, I think it was like 60-some% Black.
Yeah.
It is my observation that that number has gone down. And I have been told that a lot of the people who lived around the school, particularly rich people and some white people, were like, wait a second, why are we spending $40,000 a year to send our kids to a private school when there's an incredible magnet school that's free?
Yeah.
And since we live around here, we can just go there. And then they kind of sort of, you know, our spaces there have to be to some degree like guaranteed because, I mean, this is our neighborhood school. So I don't know if that's true or not, but it does seem to explain, if it's true, why the numbers of diverse students has gone down.
But I think, you know? I think even on a logical level, and I don't know how true or not true that is, but it's
a conspiracy. So we can just say,
we can just make up shit. This, who the fuck cares?
Right?
JFK ain't dead. That nigga getting his dick sucked right now. But that said,
JFK fans are like, how dare you, Langston? How fucking dare you,
show some
sir?
Respect. He's
show
our
some
only
respect.
President. No, but no, I think we've seen in history policy changes that enable wealthy people to make different choices or protect their choices, much in the way of like, if I end up in a neighborhood where there finally is a good school, I do want to send my kid there, and I don't give a fuck if I displace a bunch of brown and Black kids in the process.
Yeah, exactly. you know, and that tends to be, again, you look at human nature, you look at even the fact that, like, in during the Harlem Renaissance, like, the rich people would come up to Harlem, and they would watch Louis Armstrong, and they would watch, oh, there's Paul Robeson, he's going to do a speech. And then afterwards, Paul was like, can I come back to your house? And they were like, oh, Paul.
Paul, come on.
You're funny. But anyway, this has been fun. We're going to go.
Jibby Jazz and all that.
Jibbity Jazz. Dance today. Oh, that's a new dance move. All right, we'll be right back, guys. There does seem to be this sense of, like, people with money want to live really well and they want to be entertained. Mm-hmm. And what they don't need is constant daily reminders of the motherfuckers who didn't make it, you know?
Yeah. And I do think that
shit, it's annoying. It's like, why are they? It's like, ugh.
Yeah. So one of the things that I started to think about in relation to all of that, and you brought this up earlier, was the question of overpopulation, right? Because point, if the world is overpopulated, you are inevitably going to be bumping into a bunch of poor people who make you feel yucky about the fact that, like, their life isn't as good as your life could be.
Or worse, who get mad about their lot and show up at your front door with $600,000, then you got a bigger problem.
Right. Then now they're creating something.
Either way, they're creating a problem.
Yeah, problem for you that you don't want. And one of the articles that I read argued that it's less a concern of overpopulation and more an issue of overconsumption that's affecting climate change. That, like, climate change is actually, even if we kicked a bunch of poor people off of the earth or killed them off or whatever it is, that the wealthy are consuming so much of the earth's natural resources that we would continue to consume at that level and still exceed the amount that is needed for survival.
That is sustainable.
But I think this still doesn't hurt your point, because it just kind of proves that they might just be short-sighted as fuck about the way that they're approaching this. They're like, well, if we get rid of these broke motherfuckers, we can live happy. And then they're forgetting that, like, oh, that means you'll have to clean your own toilet and you'll have to chill on how much
food you want. Dude, robots.
Sure.
No, you do not have to clean your own toilet. You honestly almost don't. Like, they might even have a robot where you take your little toddler and you just tie them to the robot for 3 hours. And the robot's like, me, time for a nap, and then that's it. And that's what happened. So, no, I think robots are really going to be... Man, I saw a video of a robot doing the damn dances the other day.
Yeah, that's true.
And I was like, well, if they can dance, why do they need us?
Right.
Like, what are we going to do? So, no, I feel like...
Is this motherfucker hitting the nay-nay? Oh, I'm obsolete.
I mean, come on. Oh, that's bullshit. And he can moonwalk? That's not fair. Oh, of course, now he's doing the robot, of course.
Okay,
yes, that's easy.
All right.
Now, the robots, again, they're going to do all those alleged important... Dude, I love Postmates. Mm-hmm. Does a human being really need to bring me a sandwich?
Absolutely not.
I would say this, in the next 5 years, when I order a sandwich, I'm going to hear some buzzing, and a fucking drone is going to drop a goddamn ham and cheese sandwich on my backyard.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to eat it and be like, thanks.
Right.
You know?
And you're saying thanks to no one, but
I'm saying thanks to the universe, and I'm saying thanks to Jeff Bezos and Blue Origin, because they're going to be doing that, you know. But we live in a world where you have stuff is going, you're not going to need people to do this stuff. And I think the upside of this is, right. Okay, so let's do something positive. Here's the positive.
I love this. Let's hit the positives.
Let's hit the positive. If the right types of ideas flourish in our society, the fact that human beings have to do less work could be wonderful.
Yeah.
So that a person who's born could actually spend their time devoted to something which is good for them and potentially might contribute to society versus doing a job a robot could do. So, for example, if you're somebody who actually is a great guitarist, society will be able to say, well, we don't need you to work at McDonald's.
Yeah.
Just go play your guitar all day. Go play your guitar. And you might write a hit song that makes people happy, and then you can make, you know, extra money. But what's happening now is that because of the way our society is structured, there's all these, like, you know, everybody crows about these employment numbers, and I think The Onion has some funny articles about it, but, like, these jobs are not great. These are not great jobs.
No,
these are not jobs you want to retire on. These are not, like, there are people who work for Uber, UberX, Postmates, Lyft. Like, that's not really a career. And also, you know, it's not, you're competing with every, you know, unfortunately, every, like, PhD having immigrant who came here and can't get a job because racist, even though the motherfucker got like 5 degrees and shit and smarter than everybody, but he's driving Uber. You're competing. So all those people are and that person is also trying to get a job in McDonald's. So the idea is that if the right type of ideas flourish and if goodness can prevail, we could look up and say the good news is that people don't have to do shitty jobs anymore. and they don't and they don't have to do shitty jobs to live and have health care and have a good education.
I love the idea that we would be that would able be nice. To truly just pursue the things that mean the most to us emotionally, correct. Spiritually, whatever. Which yes. scares me even in that, and this is just my cynicism kicking in at all times, but like it scares me because it's like, yeah, but then who decides who's good enough to get to pursue their own job versus like is forced to do a new version of the only thing humans can do? You know what I mean?
I mean, that's a good question. I don't know.
They'll start distinguishing people based on like, all right, you're going to be a band leader, but you're going to be you on the bass, bitch. You don't get to you get to stand in the back. You're never going to be a star. So we decide that.
You're never going to make it in this town.
Right. Exactly.
I don't know. Look, will it probably end in a dystopian nuclear war? Yes.
Sure.
But we can dream, brother. We can dream. It might end good, but it's not trending that way. Right now it's trending towards catastrophe.
Yes. So,
enjoy life while you can.
One of the things that I read in that same article, it talked about the fact that even our population right now is shrinking. Mm-hmm. That like, despite the fact that we're constantly being told the world is overpopulated, which it is, that by 2100, the year 2100, there'll be 1.5 billion less people on the planet than there were in the year 2000.
What's causing that?
That basically it's a mix of like, culture shifting, so we're not prioritizing sex and sort of reproduction in the same way. But then I also think a fair amount of it has to do with climate change and it reducing fertility rates. That like people are less fertile than they used to be because of like
also
shit we're doing to the planet.
And I've also seen anecdotally that younger people are saying, "Why would I bring a child into a world where even I can't find a job?"
Mm-hmm.
And I can't afford a mortgage.
Yeah.
And I have, so it doesn't make sense to bring a kid. So what, he gonna starve too? What the fuck?
Right.
Like, that's stupid. So
yeah,
that is.
If you keep telling me that like we're gonna reach global destruction by 2050, what am I bringing another human into this for?
Makes no sense.
Yeah.
Makes
and no sense. I spent some time in Japan a few years ago. And one of my friends was explaining to me when we were out there that Japan's actually in the middle of like having to trick their population into being sexual again, that like they've become so sort of asexual with each other that like literally the government is begging people to be like, hey, get some pussy, dog. Stop. You can't just work and study and be yourself. You gotta go out there and chase some
fucking
tail.
Oh, come on, y'all ain't fucking today. That's crazy. All right, have fun, engineer. Yeah, I get it, man. It's such an interesting thing. And like, I always feel like so much of the things that Americans find odd about Japan or so many of the things about Japan that people go like, that's so unique. It can also be traced back to like our position toward them in the Second World War.
Mm-hmm.
You know, can be traced back to that like ultimate level of like mass destruction, that event. You know, so I read somewhere that like, one of the reasons that the Godzilla movies were popular is because that was in some way an embodiment of a sort of like globally cataclysmic force, the way that the nuclear attack was. Well, they're not going to do a nuclear bomb. And by the way, Godzilla literally comes from, for those of you who are Godzilla heads, Godheads, as we say, Godzilla comes from, he comes from nuclear testing in the Pacific. They're doing nuclear testing and then they fuck some shit up. And then he's like, whoa, what's going on here? So ultimately, I do think that like, that's really, you know, I'm very curious about it, but I've also read that they have, but I've also read the part of the thing that hurts them a little bit is they don't want a bunch of like brown people coming over there and doing jobs, you know,
they want
people who were actually born Japanese to take those Japanese jobs when you have literally China and India are full of single dudes who are like, hey, we'll come do that shit.
Yeah.
And they're like, nah, we good.
And
we straight.
I think to your ultimate sort of conspiracy, right, is that's the danger of what's being built, is that each of these countries are going to become more nationalistic, more sort of like they're going to put up more walls and tell less people that they can come in. Our fucking country literally told like 8 nations last year, y'all just ain't welcome because we don't fuck with you. And that's a wild energy for us to be coming out with, but we won't be the only ones when resources start to get scarce, which means ultimately all these refugees, all these people who you mentioned are wanderers, they got to go somewhere and we can't just shoot them because that's bad PR.
Space.
So space it is.
They're going to space. And I, you know what? And they're going to build their own futures. And God damn it. It's going to be very, it's going to be real exciting to see. It's going to be real exciting, you know, because I think the rich people want Earth to be kind of like Central Park on a Sunday afternoon.
Yes.
Like, not a lot of people.
Right.
Really pretty. There's a couple people bird watching.
If I want to put down a blanket in the park, I have room to put down a blanket in the park.
Exactly. You want to get off the off ramp and not see crazy shit. You know, you want to go sit in the park, like you said, and put a blanket down and just enjoy yourself. Yeah, it's quality of life for some people with money is very, very important. You know, it's my observation.
I love it. All right, we're going to take one more break. We'll be back with more Bashir and more My Mama Told Me. And we are back.
Do you ever feel, you know, not so fresh?
Ew! No!
Yeah, we're back here with more Bashir Salahuddin, more My Mama Told Me. We're still talking about the space tourism, the interplanetary travel, and the niggas who won't get to travel back. They're going out in space.
One-way tickets.
It's a one-way ticket.
One-way ticket.
I didn't mention this earlier, but NASA actually is also creating a space program where they're basically allowing for people to tour for $35,000 a day. And that's much cheaper than even the other alternatives. And they're saying a day, but to your point, if it's a one-way ticket, maybe we cut some off that price.
And it won't all be, you know, we're going to have low Earth orbit hotels. Mm-hmm. So like the International Space Station is in low Earth orbit.
Yep.
And it's able to maintain. So imagine that times 20,000.
Yeah.
And you're going to go, oh, which space hotel are you going to? Oh, you know, I heard it's an all black one. They just opened up. Oh, how's the service? Bad. That's racist.
It's just Sandals Jamaica in space.
It's Sandals Jamaica, and it's owned by the Chinese. That was surprising when I went to Jamaica. They were like, oh, the Chinese own that. Chinese. That's another conspiracy for another day. But I was like, oh, they really own all this stuff? They were like, it's all Chinese.
Hey, I'm not sure if that's a conspiracy theory or just.
It's actually not. It's a fact.
It's just devastating news for a lot of people who thought that Africa was still belonged to black people. It doesn't.
Nah, man. You go to the Caribbean and you'll be on the beach with people who have no access to the beach.
Yeah.
But they can come sail some shit for like an hour a day.
It's wild. All right. Let's play a game. We have a fun game. It's a game that I love to play. It's a game called Homemade Hotel.
Homemade Hotel.
There it is.
All right. Homemade Hotel. This is the way it works. I'm going to introduce to you a real life fact, a fact that exists out in the world. And what I would love for you to do, Bashir, is just Hotep the shit out of it. Just add as much theory and problematic views as any Hotep would to this theory. Whatever you need to do to get yourself all the way to the end of the whole thing. Does that make sense?
Let's do it. Let's do it.
Hell yeah. Okay. So your real fact that exists is that apparently the keyboard, the QWERTY keyboard that we all type on, was actually designed to make people type slower. That, like, they found that the old version of the keyboard that I guess had letters in order, people were typing too fast and catching up with computers in a way that they didn't plan for. And so they changed the keyboard to slow people down.
Well, that's first off, that's entirely real. I think, you know, Einstein said E equals MC squared. And what he was saying in that equation, I mean, we all know this, is that matter and energy are essentially two versions of the same thing.
Yep.
When you type too fast, brother, you create a vibrational harmonic with the natural energies and resources of the earth, which could allow your third eye to open and for you to see. Because I think a lot of people think that time moves in a straight line, but in fact, as we learn from Gabriel Garcia Marquez's book, time moves in a circle. Mm-hmm. Things happen over and over again. And so people's third eye, if they speed up too much, because then all of a sudden action and thought become energy and become one, it speeds up too much. And people then will be able to see the natural curvature and rotation and gravitation of the universe and of the earth. They will be able to see time. They will be able to see the future, right?
Yeah.
So what happened was, a lot of people were typing in the old version of the keyboard, and they were typing so fast, they were seeing visions. They were like, oh my God, we got to stop Hitler. And they were like, no, no, we gotta stop that, because you know, because the powers that be, the Trilateral Commission and the Rothschild, they needed Hitler to come along because he was very instrumental in their other plans that they had, brother. Now follow along with this if you can. So in order to slow down the ability of matter and thought to convert into one, and for you to see time all the way through, they had to slow down the keyboard. And so now what they've done is they brainwashed you, brother. If you open your eyes, you'll see it. They brainwashed you into believing that you can only type so fast, because you've always heard about people being able to type, oh, I type 100 words a minute. You've never heard over 150, because 150 is the point.
Oh.
So if somebody says, I type 200 words a minute, that person's probably a psychic.
Sure.
and they can't reveal themselves.
I got
it. So it's all interconnected to time and space. But you know, I've done my own research on this stuff. Other people do their research. And you know, this is kind of what I came out with. But you know, what do I know, brother? Hey, I've been to Egypt and it felt real.
Hey, there it is. Hey.
That's called motherfucking bars, nigga. Fucking, you know nothing about this.
That's Homemade Hotep, everybody. Fucking there nailed it. Time, space. The only thing you missed was a little misogyny and homophobia for a good Hotep rant.
We'll stay tuned for part two. Well, I tell you what, what's funny is that we actually have some Hotepness on season two of Southside. I'm looking forward to it. Yeah, we added some, so I'm looking forward to that.
You brought that in the perfect time, Bashir. We've nailed the episode. Could you tell all the people the cool shit you have going on? You have a lot of cool shit going on.
Well, Southside, the TV show, is going to be on HBO Max. I think one of the things that
was
hard for us for the longest time is that people love the show, but then the very next comment would be like, because somebody like Jada Pinkett would be like, oh my God, I love the show. Southside is great. And then all the comments are like, yeah, where the fuck can we watch it? And that was, nobody knew where to get this shit. It was really.
Including people on the show. We were like,
again,
where do I watch
it? My own mother was like, I don't understand. I'm so hurt. I'm worried. But the good news is that this year, Southside is going to be on HBO Max. Both, and then we're shooting a new season for HBO Max too. So hopefully, if things go the way that we are planning them to go, everybody will be able to binge the show the way that, I mean, I actually ended up buying the damn thing on my Xbox. So I'm really excited for fans of the show to be able to binge it, enjoy it, and really see all the Easter eggs and things that happen when you can binge a show that I think sometimes you don't get in that weekly viewing. And then Sherman Showcase, we had to not shoot it because of COVID. So we're going to shoot it into this year, early next, and then that'll be out. But we just premiered in Canada, so that's cool. Hopefully Drake, he'll reach out.
Come on,
Drake. Hey, I like the show.
Tori, hey, Drake, watch. Tori, stay your ass off of Sherman Showcase. Fuck you, Tory Lanez.
Man, hopefully. But yeah, we got that going on, and then I think we're really excited to get back to Chicago and shoot season two. So, for all the fans, it's coming and you're going to be able to really enjoy it.
Hell yeah.
For a very long time.
I'm very excited. Bashir doesn't believe in social media, so you don't need to follow him anywhere. He's anti that, but please watch Southside. Please watch Sherman Showcase. He's exceptional in both.
Thank you.
This has been amazing. And as
always, by the way, you're exceptional in both too, by the way. So thank you very much.
Stop it. Get out of here.
No, they played your sketch at Red Rocks. I don't know if you know that. They played the Temptations 11 sketch at Red Rock.
I did not.
For a bunch of people. Yes, they did. And that's actually how I met this one. I won't say his name, but this one sports commentator, because he was at the show and he was like, oh my God, it's so good. I love that Temptation sketch. So again, thank you for blessing us, sir.
It was a pleasure. And I'll happily do it whenever you ask me. I ain't got nothing
there. It is
on.
Hey, we're all here.
But follow the podcast, follow me at Langston Kerman, and please subscribe, like, do all the stuff that you're supposed to do. Okay, that's it. Goodbye.